The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, I'm talking to Lawrence Fox, the next mayor of London. Lawrence, I think probably if you could just leave our viewers with one thing to remember, it would be to go to mypillow.com and use the code Eric. I think that's what you were just about to say. So let's go to the second most important thing. There are many people here. I mean, there are many people in England who listen to this program or watch it on YouTube. But for those of us in America who are Anglophiles, who love the West and everything that started with the Magna Carta, what can we do to help you? Because it strikes me that your campaign is not just for the mayor of London. In other words, it would strike a blow to wokeism around the world, which is, you know, you can say it would strike a blow at the Marxism that we find in China today. This is an ideology that is a cancer. It's monstrous, horrific. And what you're trying to do in become mayor of London has everything to do with what's going on in the United States and around the world. So how can we help you apart from sharing this video, you know, with everyone we know?
I keep saying to people, it's just important that you manage to have constructive conversations with people you disagree with. And then in the medium term, what I've done is with the money I have to run the project, is that I've commissioned various pieces of work independently from the best thinkers in the UK. So I have a legal review, remedies to some of the identity-based law. In America, you've got an Equality Act coming through, right? They're trying to push an Equality Act through. And in England, we had that 2010, the Equality Act, and it's killed society, really killed society, ripped it apart. And now we've got a hate crime bill coming through. So I'm going... When I release these papers, which are going to be, one of them is fronted up by Lord Sumption, Jonathan Sumption, who is one of the best defenders of liberty on planet Earth, is just to, let's just elevate these things and put them in schools and say to young people when they're, you know, impressionable and looking forward to learning that, you know, here's another way of looking at things. There's a way of looking at your liberty being crucial to the development of how we operate as a society, how we treat one another, and how we show love to one another. People think freedom is running around setting fire to police vans. Freedom is not that.
That's anarchy, technically. That's called anarchy.
But they think that it, you know, you go to the demonstrations in England and they're like, freedom! And then they're smashing things up and you're like, this isn't freedom, guys. This is chaos. And it's not.
Who is doing that? Is this your version of Antifa, your version of BLM? What is it?
We're importing Antifa now to the UK, and we seem to have pretty terrible and border controls on what we accept from America. So, yeah, the Black Lives Matter have come in, but they've been roundly slapped down by the report that was released today in the UK. So that'll be different. But, you know, this Marxist and, in my view, sort of vehemently discompassionate, uncompassionate religion, it looks for vectors of vulnerable people, doesn't it? So if you say to the Black community, you know what, you are downtrodden and oppressed and you are victims, and it just then comes and it latches its nasty little fangs onto them and sucks the blood out and then throws them away. And it does the same to the trans community, and it's did the same to women over Me Too. And I don't know what the next area will be. I think it'll probably be mental health. You know, I've got a feeling that Meghan Markle has put that little drop of poison into our culture to go, now you're going to say, you cannot say something because it affects my mental health.
And yeah.
No, it's crucial that we speak. So I think ultimately, what it's a long version of the story is to find somebody you disagree with and have a proper discussion with them.
That's what one can do sort of more globally. But I'm saying, what can we do specifically to help you in this campaign? Where would we go, for example, to give money? I know there are lots of folks over here that love England and London. Where can people go to help you?
You can go to reclaimparty.co.uk, but we're not, I'm not accepting any donations at the moment because I have one donation and I want to exist and people to see the work that I've done before we ask people to get on board. Do you know what I mean? And
as no, I don't. Say that again. You're not accepting donations. Why?
Because I'm only a year into this job, I have secured funding that will last me for 4 years. So I would rather people saw what I was doing. Then when I stand a big candidates list for the general election, then I'll ask people for money. But in the meantime,
okay, now because I'm an American, I'm not clear on what you just meant. You're running in a few weeks to be mayor of London. You're so saying you don't. Pardon me?
That's just me running by myself. So I'm not running any other candidates other than myself. I'm actually running one guy in Scotland.
Well, okay, so since we don't have that system over here, what you're saying is you are not running. I guess I'm not clear how that works. I know that in Parliament, you know, if you were running for Prime Minister, you would want a raft of folks with you to form a government.
Yeah.
How does that work with regard to the London mayoralty?
Okay, so this is where you can help. Yes. So any people in America who care about these issues and want to raise these issues and be vocal about them, they should definitely get in touch with us and write to the, I think it's media. What is it?
They can go to reclaimparty.co.uk. Reclaimparty.co.uk. And I guess there's a place there where we can reach you.
Yes, and at the Reclaim Party is on Twitter, that delightful place. LawrenceFoxForLondon.co.uk as well. See, I should really know all of these things.
You really should know these things, but you've been busy launching a campaign. So say it again, it's Lawrence and it's L-A-U. Lawrence Fox. For London?
.co.uk.
Is that F-O-R or the number four?
F-O-R, yeah, that's right.
F-O-R, yeah, that would be a very vulgar American thing to use the number for. Lawrence Fox for London.co.uk.
That's right.
All right. So what are the pundits saying about your chances in this election? You're clearly tapping into something which it sounds like it hasn't been tapped into, and that there are lots of people out there who would share your views and be happy to vote for you. But what are people saying, or what do you think is going to happen in the beginning of May?
One of my favorite things about conservatives is we're so entrepreneurial. I mean, I don't see myself as particularly conservative, but conservatives are quite entrepreneurial. So everyone has got a party on this side of the argument. Everyone is like, I'm the Heritage Party. I'm UKIP. I'm this. So what the pundits said this morning, we had huge pickup yesterday. And what the pundit said this morning, which is Michael Gove, who's a senior government minister's wife, writes in the Daily Mail, and she went, Sadiq Khan and the rest underestimate him at their peril.
Very
so
nice.
That means the government are listening, right? So we'll get some polling out next week and we'll find out. Because also I'm not really up against Sadiq Khan, I'm also up against our non-conservative government. Because
this is kind of my question, because those of us over here, many of us, most of us are not familiar with the landscape, politically speaking, in England generally, and specifically in what you're up against in this election. So how many serious candidates, let's put it that way, are involved? When you say you're up against people in the so-called conservative party who are not conservative, and it sounds to me like they're like the rhinos over here. They are ostensibly, in name only, are they conservative, but it doesn't seem like they're addressing the things you're talking about. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. Yeah, the London Conservative candidate he hasn't landed either. He's the central Conservative office, the government office, have withdrawn his funding, so he's not landed. Then you've got the Labour candidate Sadiq, our favourite friend, who is coming in polling at a high percentage. He's doing really well, and so I'm going, we all need to get in behind me. And I will get, I need to get to the point where him and I can stand on a stage together and I can say to him, how do you feel about Queen Victoria's statue, seeing as you hate everything about Britain? How do you feel about that statue? Should we take that statue down? What do you think, Sadiq?
How does he feel about Churchill's statue near Westminster Abbey?
You can just sense from him that he has a deep...
Oh, forgive me. We're coming up to a break. We will let you complete that sentence on the other side. Folks, Lawrence Fox, the next mayor of London, by God's grace, don't go away.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, folks. Talking to Lawrence Fox, who I hope will be the next mayor of London. You were just mentioning something about Churchill, and you're saying that Sadiq Khan, who's the currently the mayor of London, who's woke, pro-BLM, Marxist madness, that you want to confront him on his views on some of these statues of, for example, the various statues of Queen Victoria. I was asking about the famous statue of Churchill, not so far from Parliament and near Westminster Abbey. What do you think?
I think that he hates history, you know, and there's something quite interesting about people in the UK where they've turned around and they hate on their own history and they can't see a balanced view of it. So my feeling would be he wouldn't answer affirmatively or not. He would go, if the people would like the statue to remain, then that would be fine. But you would say, you've got this commission of diversity in the public realm. You've already had to throw someone off for being an absolute massive racist. Why aren't you actually talking to the people? So he sees London and England and Britain as a progressive project with no history to it whatsoever. And I see London and Britain as a progressive project with lots of history to it that we should be learning from. You can't tear down all slave traders.
But you understand when you talked about how he, you know, and the woke progressives typically go to a group and convinces that group, you've been oppressed and we're here for you. You understand that is cultural Marxism. In other words, Marxism divides people, you know, the workers and the I can't think what they're called, the owners, you know, of the factories, and then there's the workers. And when that ceased to work, when the Soviet Union dissolved, I mean, we've just shifted, and we now divide people into oppressed, and then the oppressors. So again, it is Marxism. That's what we're facing. There are not that many ideologies in history. They're all different forms of this kind of thing, and we can trace this back to the French Revolution. It's basically hate a group of people, give people permission to hate, to despise, and as you said, you know, draw them in until you don't need them anymore, and then you spit them up, and you chew them up, and you spit them out. But it seems to me that he's mastered this. That Sadiq Khan has mastered this kind of campaigning.
He has, and what's so interesting is I'm not sure that it does appeal particularly to his base. But London is in London, all Western liberal metropolitan areas have become beyond liberal now, haven't they? You know, as you say, culturally Marxist. So he's the only thing that he spent time on. The thing that I can really go, you've actually succeeded, was going, you're allowed to fly a blimp of Donald Trump in Parliament. And the number of people that just went, why can't you just wake up in the morning and go and do something good for people? Why do you have to wake up every morning and go, I'm going to take your heart and I'm going to draw a line through it? It's so unfair.
Exactly. He's succeeding by being a divider.
I don't understand these people. Do you know what I mean? So my dad says to me all the time, he says, you know, with these guys, it's all about the means to the end, not the end itself. And so I don't understand them, because I wouldn't behave in that way. So I don't know. It feels like we're culturally, we were quite stable societally, and now suddenly this instability has started to really rear its head. And I just instinctively say, this is not good. This will end really badly. So I must stand against it.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's permanent revolution. And clearly folks like Sadiq Khan, they, even if they're not aware of it, they're only interested in power. That's all that they care about. And if gaining power or keeping power means actually oppressing the people who've elected you, then so be it. They don't have the same kinds of values that you do. So the challenge will be for you to communicate that to enough people. How many people live in London and are permitted to vote?
So London is about 9 million, and then voters are about 6 million. And it's quite a tricky constituency for someone like me, if I'm honest, because it's the cathedral of wokery, London. I mean, it's the high altar, but I'm saying, you know, where better to preach than at the high altar of the thing that you disagree with most?
It's fascinating, really, to think that this is happening over there, and it's why, you know, I was excited to have you on. I thought, what a thrilling thing that you are putting yourself out there, and that you're being a voice for all of those people. You have to understand this, that there are tons of people. This happened with Trump in America. They don't have a voice. And when somebody begins to say what they're thinking, they're thrilled. They didn't believe that it was possible anymore, especially when you have, you know, the fake conservatives here and there, simply unwilling to do battle with the people that they need to battle with and the ideas they need to battle with. So you have a lot going for you. You have to know, of course, that people's awareness of you as an actor will help you. And I'm thrilled that you're as out there. What are you most famous for? Is it the Inspector Lewis series?
I think so. I did the Inspector Lewis series for such a long time. And actually, the guy I worked with on that was very left wing. But we never had a big fight, because it wasn't leftism and it wasn't this what we've got now. We used to disagree about a lot of stuff. But these conversations seem to have been fractured now. It's very, very sad, I feel.
Well, it is sad, because you have old style liberals who really they've been hijacked. The parties on the left have been hijacked by the wokeism, by the sort of the Marxist progressive madness, and that's where we are. And I think that there are a lot of people you could probably appeal to over there as well who do think that it's gone too far. I've been fascinated. I was just asking my wife this morning, why does anyone in America talk about Meghan Markle? I cannot for the life of me figure out why anyone would care what she thinks or says. My wife kind of helped me understand that. But what's your view of this strange situation with her?
Well, she was instrumental in my original problem, because the lady in the audience on Question Time had said, you know, let's call it what it was. It was racism that made her leave the UK. And I said, it's not racism. It's just some spoiled actress who can't cope with you not being the center of attention. You meet 10 every single time you do an acting job, male and female actors. They're all, you know, you just meet egotistical little preeners. And that's what she is. I think she's a great study in narcissism, right? And compulsive lying. So she said, we got married, Harry and I got married 3 days before the service in London. And then the Archbishop of Canterbury, who's woke as hell himself, and I mean, don't even get me started on the church in the UK. He's the woke Bishop of Canterbury. He just had to say, oh, no, that didn't happen.
I read that this morning, that he denied that. So has she been caught out in a lie? Did they have a civil ceremony? It doesn't seem possible to me that a prince in England could be married and it wouldn't get out. It simply doesn't seem possible to me.
But if you're super woke, what is the truth, right? The truth is your version of it.
It's my truth. It's my truth, man.
In her truth, she got married 3 days before the wedding. In the Archbishop of Canterbury's truth, in the British establishment's truth, she didn't. One is what the Queen describes it as I can't remember what her exact thing. We vary in our recollections, I think she said, something like that.
But I mean, is that not preposterous that she publicly said I was married? I mean, this is not saying that I had a disagreeable meal, which is subjective. She's claiming that she was legally married 3 days before she was married publicly. And we actually don't know whether that's true or we're suspecting it's not true. I mean, do we know that it's not true?
Truth is the truth is very low on progressives.
Well, look, we know. I guess I'm just wondering, has she actually been caught in a lie?
She's been caught in a lie, yeah. It won't be the first one. Piers Morgan walked off Good Morning Britain for this one reason. He said, I think she's a liar. And he had to walk off the biggest TV show, morning TV show in the UK, which then lost half its audience in one day. So they almost care that the not offending people is more important than advertising revenue in the UK television thing. You're like, whoa, I just thought.
Wow. Wow. Do you know Piers Morgan? Is he somebody who would be who'd be willing to speak up for your candidacy?
He's a bandwagon jumper, as you will have known from seeing him on CNN in America. He loves a bandwagon. He's the whole sort of Second Amendment shill that he did in America was a bit much, and Ben Shapiro sent him packing, and he's kind of the same here. This is a freedom of speech bandwagon, and he's gone, oh, this looks like a good bandwagon, so he's hopped on it. But
I wish he'd get on your bandwagon, because it could help, just because he's so vocal. And
we
so
had a fight over COVID, though, and freedom over COVID. He was like, I said, I'm not going to lock myself down, I'm not going to do it, I don't believe in it, I'm going to be with my family when I want to be with my family, and no government minister is ever going to tell me whether I can be with my family or not. And I was very public about that because I didn't want to be a hypocrite, and he got very angry with me.
Oh, really? See, this is so fascinating to me, because I knew I would love you, because this is what I've been saying. The very idea that someone would dare to tell me or anyone I know what they can do and can't do, it's preposterous. We've just got a final segment with you, folks. We'll be right back. We're talking to Lawrence Fox. It's the Erkman Taxes Show. Don't go away. Hey, folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC. Folks, I'm talking to Lawrence Fox. He is standing, as they say, for mayor of London. Lawrence, did you go to university or did you leap right into acting?
I thankfully didn't go to university. I was always felt really bad that I didn't go to university, but I see some of my lobotomized chums coming out of university and I'm pretty grateful I didn't go.
So I had the privilege to debate at the Oxford Union about, I don't know, it's probably 15 years ago now. And I was really a little bit astounded at the quality of the thinking among the students there. I was a little depressed by it, frankly. You're known for being an actor, of course. Suddenly now you've leapt into this world, but you're a voice, you're a cultural voice for millions. When you say what you just said about being told that, you know, how you must behave and what you can do with your children, I was driving here, maybe it was in Connecticut, and there was a sign, or in New York, on the highway saying something about only necessary travel or something. I thought, how dare anyone with my tax dollars tell me anything along those lines? It's completely un-American, undemocratic. It's simply wrong. But most people don't know enough about it. They just know that it rubs them the wrong way. But folks like you are giving voice. You're helping people articulate what it is that they've been feeling, which is why I hope there will be a groundswell of support for you. So you've at least given up acting temporarily.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, I've got children and I really care that my kids grow up in a world where that's more engaged. You know, the capitalist thing of going, I want my kids to be better off than me or have a better start in life. We're now, a lot of culture is actively campaigning for our children to have a worse start in life, you know, and we're lionizing all of the negatives, and we mustn't do that. So I will not stop until the Overton window is shifted back into the middle and people can have a proper, reasonable, organized debate, and we stop the sort of blight that is modern racism through this woke agenda. And I'm very grateful and I feel very blessed to have a voice, and I try and be responsible as I can with it.
Now, you did say that you are funded. I mean, that's a remarkable thing. So do you think that some of these other candidates will fall by the wayside before you get to the election?
Yeah, they will, because it's very difficult. And it's I've been, again, very blessed with a good budget. So we are running all the way through. And I think, as she said, the Home Secretary's wife in her newspaper column, she said, you know, you'd be foolish to ignore me, because I am, there is nobody saying we love our beautiful country. We love freedom of speech. We love each other. And this isn't about division. We all live together and we need to unite around some values. Let's have a conversation about what those values are, rather than go, the values are woke progressivism, and if you don't like it, you don't have a job anymore.
Yeah. I wonder what Sadiq Khan's views are on William Wilberforce, one of my heroes, a white man who, because of his Christian faith and his love of England, stood against the slave trade successfully after a long battle. But it is interesting how if you cannot praise someone like a Wilberforce because he's white or because he existed even before the Victorian era, whom can you praise? We're living in this strange present tense constantly. And I think that this is what the Marxists do, as you've been saying. They want to wipe out history. It's what they have done every single time. But I do think we've seen how Marxism goes. They can't hang on forever. Eventually, the people are wise to it, except for China so far.
Well, we're defending against it as much as you can. But you also need to make sure that in the reaction to Marxism, you don't get the authoritarian other side of the argument. You don't get identitarian white people or whatever it is. So I'm just trying to put some freedom of speech stakes in the ground in the middle of our culture. And I'm very lucky in the fact that people have really engaged with it, to say when the conversation is forced to be had, which it is, we've had a big problem with the Muslims with a school in north of England today and yesterday that's ongoing, with a teacher who was fired for showing a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. And, you know, we're at boiling point here in a lot of ways. It's very, you know, we need something. It's hard to remind kids that have had idolatry and ideology slammed into their heads. It's hard to teach them that they have a brain of their own sometimes.
Are people like Katie Hopkins too divisive for you, or can they help you?
I think she's said some pretty horrendous things for me. And I don't know whether she did, well, she said those things because she believed them or she said it to play to the crowd. But I think that I think that, that you still have to maintain. I mean, I'm quite outspoken, but some of the stuff she said, I'm a bit like, that's a bit much for me. I'm sorry.
She's not running for mayor. She can be a provocateur and there's a place for that. But it's just interesting to me because it does seem that she taps into people who are likewise fed up. The question is, what is the answer? And you're quite right. I mean, you see the same thing in the United States here, where some people there, and here it's still extreme fringe, but they would buy into things that I wouldn't buy into. In other words, they would say, well, we need white rights or something. I'd say that's preposterous. The whole idea of a democracy or republic is that we are beyond those things. Once you get into identitarian politics, you've lost. It doesn't matter which side.
But I do think that it is wrong to use identity-based politics. I think it is wrong. But after a while, if somebody is going to insist on denigrating and devaluing someone else's life based on skin color, you have to say no. No, that stops now, because that's fundamentally racist. And you have to remind them that they are racists to behave in this way, misogynistic racists as well, the vast majority of them. And I do think that that involves calling out their identitarianism, and it does involve turning around and saying, this does not align with our values. So you are creating a period of conflict. But as my dad says, which is so beautiful, he said, remember before you call out, people on freedom of speech and blasphemy, that you... don't fight. He said, if you don't fight in someone's God, use God to fight them. That's what he said.
Beautiful. I'm sorry we're out of time. Lawrence, God bless you. We will be following very closely and staying in touch. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
Hey there, folks. Oh, my gosh. Albin, I would say if I could have one takeaway from my interview with Lawrence Fox, probably the one takeaway is go to mypillow.com, use the code Eric. Did you get anything else out of it?
He kept saying that. He kept saying, boy, MyPillow, Eric, Eric, Eric. I thought this is what we want to hear.
And I believe I heard him say also that Eric's books can be found at mystore.com. If you use the code Eric, the prices are amazing. But let's talk about politics. I am so thrilled that he is running for mayor of London. It's really daunting, isn't it? Like when you hear him, I mean, what did you think? Because I was in the conversation. What did you think?
I know. What I got to say is that it's an international city. Let's face the facts, London. So if he becomes the mayor of London, that shows that the movement against this whole woke culture is finally catching on. People are finally waking up and saying enough. So the real wake people are going after the woke people and saying enough. We've had it. You kids, get out of the room, get out of my yard, go play somewhere.
But have they been brainwashed enough that they won't go for him? In other words, what I fear, and you see this in the United States, but I think it's worse over there, is that people are afraid of the truth. They're afraid to speak the truth. They've been told, you know, if you vote for Trump or you vote for somebody like Lawrence Fox, you're a racist, you're a bad person. And there are enough people who have bought into that. So that's the question. I think that it's the same thing about voting for Biden. I mean, the idea that anybody would think that this husk of a hack, political hack, would be a great leader, they're not so much voting for him as they are told that if you don't vote for him, you're a bad person. And a lot of people have internalized that kind of propaganda. That's the concern.
Yeah, that is. And you know what? I'm glad that you gave him a couple of ideas about, and that's the same way here in this country. The Muslim faith does not believe in 42 sexes. They believe in a man and a woman, just like the Jewish faith, just like the Christian faith. There more people believe the truth, and they're standing there saying, "Like, wait a minute, what are you telling me?" But they're being quiet because if they say something, but as soon as somebody stands up, and this is what we're looking at with Lawrence Fox, as soon as he takes a stand, will others finally come out of the shadows and say, "I'm with you, Lawrence. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you." He's going to make it popular again to be normal, to think okay thoughts.
It's interesting, though, that when you bring up, I mean, that one negative, of course, is that when you bring up somebody like Katie Hopkins, she is a provocateur and she says things and, you know, I can have her on this program and we can have fun. But I guess things are so toxic in England that he would be afraid to ally with her, which is a pity. I hope she will nonetheless speak loudly for him, even though he has to be careful. And the same thing with Piers Morgan. What a pity that Piers Morgan, who might be an ally in some things. You know, that's the question is, are things so divided that you can't get enough people? The only people who can get enough people are the woke nuts on the dramatically far left, like Sadiq Khan and whoever's representing the United States through the figure, the cardboard figure of Joe Biden.
I was talking to my twin brother when I was down in Kitty Hawk with him. And it used to be when we were growing up, there was a big giant circle. You can imagine a whole world inside of it. And the outside of the circle was actually people who believed in God and morality and those things that have been true for 5,000 years. Now, within the last 5 to 10 years, that recently, the big giant circle is the people that don't believe in God. They're woke and they're telling you. And it's the churches inside that circle now. And the church is saying like, we're part of the woke culture. We believe in social justice. In fact, we'll be more social justice than you. We're going to put a Jesus spin on it and it'll be fine. So please let us alone. We'll be the church.
We're going to put the rainbow flag and the BLM flag outside the church so that everybody knows, like, we're for everything. We stand for everything, which means we don't stand for anything, really. But we hope nobody notices. It's
like you have the truth now, and we'll go along with your truth because you know better than we are. You're 5-year-olds. You know better than we do.
I didn't want to say it to embarrass Lawrence, but his father became a serious Christian, I think, around 1970. And he's part of this huge acting dynasty, as they would say. And he had some kind of a born again experience. So he's a really dedicated a Christian, and he's read my books, and he sent me this lovely email. And when I heard, I think I did mention this, that he says that my son Lawrence, because of, you know, saying this or this, he's run afoul of the woke crowd. But how thrilling that he is channeling that into a run for the mayoralty of London. I really, I hope he gets some traction. I'm not sure what we can do except broadcast our approval and send the video out. But I hope people who listen to this program or watch us on YouTube or Rumble, that you will share the video with as many people as you can. I say the same thing about when we have Curtis Sliwa on the program. New York and London, as you said, Alvin, these are international cities, and they are nobody talks about the mayor of Daytona Beach or the mayor of, they're just a handful of cities that rise to being known around the world. And there are a lot of great cities, but there are very few that are known the way London is and New York is. And I do hope that people will share the video with Lawrence Fox today. We'll share the videos we've made with Curtis Sliwa, because nothing could be more important than we get the right folks into these positions. I mean, I'm thrilled even thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. It's really, folks, it's time to say enough is enough. Okay, we all have to come out of the woodwork and say, look, stop it. You know, it's mass madness, you maniacs, to quote Howard Beale from Network. Right. Mass madness.
That's right. This is the our last opportunity in this segment to mention today's our last day for Food for the Poor. If you've not yet gone to the website, go to metaxastalk.com. It's the last day, folks, last day of the month. We are way behind. I'm not sure why. We could use every dime, every penny. It's a great cause. Go to our website, metaxastalk.com. The number is 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Let me spell that out in case you didn't get that. 844-863-HOPE. You can call right now. You can give a whopping gift. It's tax deductible. It's a spectacular cause. 844-863-HOPE. Thank you. God bless you.
Are falling out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither.
Holy cow. Alvin and Chris, I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted.
What a day. What a day.
Next mayor of London, Lawrence Fox. I guess I want to tell people this is literally the last day. So this is our last opportunity even to share this with you, because this is the end of the last hour in our last day. If you can go to Food for the Poor at our website, metaxastalk.com, metaxastalk.com. We are doing this fundraiser. This is just the last moment for you to participate. So I know there are people out there who haven't yet given. You know who you are. Don't make me call on you, because the whole class will look at you and you'll never live it down. So just you sit there silently. You know who you are.
Yeah.
And you haven't yet given. You could give. You've just been busy. You're busy listening, for example, to me blather on, when you could be at our website, metaxastalk.com, doing this right now. In fact, you could do it right now. We're going to give you the rest of this segment off. We've got 4 minutes left in the segment, and I'm just going to say, go on. God bless you as you go. Go to metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner. You can give as little as you like, as much as you like. We will enter every single person that gets their gift in by today. Doesn't matter what amount you give. You're entered in our grand prize drawing. And our grand prize drawing, oh, it is grand indeed. Alvin, tell them what they've won.
Well, they win a lot of signed books by Eric Metaxas, the signed series of Hamster Homes from Elbin Sadar. They get hats, they get T-shirts, they get stickers, they get probably a mug or two as well. And by the way, oh, and there's Eric holding up one of the books, if you can keep it. Take it away, Eric.
This book will save the world if only people will read it and talk about it. And that's why I wrote it. And you can see Lady Liberty is drifting away.
Yeah.
And we have to.
She's holding up a pack of smokes. That's how bad it's gotten.
I know, it's gotten so dark.
By the way, please call as well. There's a number, 844-863-HOPE. That's for Food for the Poor, final day, 864-863-HOPE. Please give any amount. You get entered into the grand prize drawing, and we'll announce those winners next week, by the way.
And tell us the number again, Alvin, and I want to make sure we're getting this right.
It's 844-863-HOPE.
844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Now, listen, folks, those of you who are listening to us right now or watching us right now, what you need to do is you need to walk away, tear yourself away from the radio or screen, go to a phone, telephone. You could even use the thing, what do we call that thing that we take pictures with? Oh, yeah, the phone, 844-863-HOPE. You could dial it right now. Doesn't matter what you give, but if you do it today, you'll be entered in the drawing, and there's a pretty good chance that you can win one of these grand prizes. Much more importantly, you will be helping feed kids in Honduras who are really struggling. This is what we do. This is what we who have been blessed do. We are blessed to be a blessing. So the least we can do is do something with the blessings that God has given us. So 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. And of course, you can go to our website, metaxastalk.com. You're going to see the banner for Food for the Poor. It'll only be up today. I guess we'll try to keep it up through the end of the week, but I can't guarantee that because there are people involved way beyond us, and they have their reasons for doing it. So,
and one other thing, Eric, let's talk about Sight and Sound and the Jesus event. It's a theatrical.
Let's not
event.
And say that we did. Oh, all right.
Okay,
it's so
Friday.
It's Good Friday. Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's live. I think this is a great thing to do with your family. I mean, to watch a live event on Good Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern, obviously 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Left Coast time. But if you can watch it live, it's going to be cool. This is, we'll have Josh Enck, he's the president of Sight and Sound, on tomorrow to give us details. But it's insane. It's the largest flying, what did he call it?
The largest
flying
LCD screen
or something like that.